It is spring break. Teachers say, amen. Parents say, oh my. And some say, oh well. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn to the spring break passage. That is 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. We'll be reading this here just momentarily. Second Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. Would you stand as we read this single verse here? In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. And God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Spring break. In the springtime, when kings go off to war, David, who is, remind me, folks, who is David here at this time? He's the king. Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I was right. When kings go off to war, David, the king, says, I'm going to take a break. He says, it's spring break. It's springtime. I'm going to take a break. This is the beginning of a tragedy in the life of King David and for the nation of Israel. Actually, it's the beginning of the action, but what takes place actively begins forehand in the mind. Now, I wonder at what point David planned to stay home. I was talking with our group on Wednesday night, and I don't know. I mean, it's all speculation because the Scripture doesn't really lay it out there plainly for us, and we don't need to dwell on that, but I still wonder. I'm wondering if it was in the middle of wintertime and David just said, you know what? I've been fighting a long time. Even since before I was king, I've been fighting. I'm a warrior. It's what I do. And I think I'm just tired. I think it's time for me to take a break. Now, we still need to go out, and there's some still places we need to go conquer, so I'm going to let some other people go do that for me, and I'll just kind of lay low. I don't know if that was his mind or if he thought, I've seen this girl. I'm going to wait till everybody gets out of town. I don't know that either. We can wonder about that, but we don't really need to dwell too hard on it because we don't know. It probably wasn't a last-minute decision, though. He probably didn't wake up on the day that all the armies were about to march out. He probably didn't just wake up and go, y'all go ahead. I'll see you when you get back. Probably was not a last-minute decision. More than likely, and again, this is just speculation, but it was more likely over the winter, David began to think about not going to war with his army in the spring for whatever reason. It began in his head or maybe even in his heart. You know, from ancient days, they've separated our thoughts and emotions. The thoughts, the thinking happens in the head and the emotions come from the heart. And so wherever this idea of not going to war originated, you know, head or heart, whatever it was, his heart wasn't right and his thinking was wrong. So it led to a disastrous action, which came about because of a lack of action. Idle time. Spring break. He became apathetic. Apathetic just means not interested. It wasn't important enough to him to concern himself with it. It just was, I know it's there, but it really doesn't make any difference to me. That's apathy. That's apathetic. What happens when we as God's church become apathetic? When we say, I know that there are people out there and they're dying and going to hell every day, but you know what? I'm not. So, And that's the good thing. I want to focus on the good things. I just want to focus on the good things because that's me, and I'm good because of Jesus. And so, yay! I know that they're dying and they're going to spend eternity in hell of apart from Jesus Christ. But you know, and I feel sad about that. But not enough to go out and tell them. That's called apathy. Donna shared with me some statistics this week out of our the Southern Baptist Missions magazine. I want to read a couple of these things to you. North American Mission Board, which is our missions emphasis right now, estimates that 259 million people in the United States and Canada do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 259 million. That's a lot of people. Researchers are finding a growing spiritual apathy among the unchurched. Okay, not just among the church, among the Christians, among the unchurched, the people that don't have Jesus Christ. June 2016, a study by Lifeway Research found that few think about what happens after they die, and only one third of respondents said that they would go to a worship service even if invited by a friend. Let's see. And only a third of respondents said that they would go to a worship service if they were invited by a friend. A third would go. Two-thirds said, nah. Now, I'm talking about people outside the church. You can understand apathy outside the church. It goes on, it says, if the unchurched are willing to visit a service, the problem is there might not be a church trying to reach them. That's apathy from within the church. According to the North American Mission Board, only one Southern Baptist congregation exists for every 6,828 people in North America. Now, I know we're talking about these statistics for Southern Baptist churches, which we're a Southern Baptist church because we cooperate with the cooperative program and the Southern Baptist Convention. But there are other churches. There are non-denominational churches. There are Pentecostal churches. There are Assembly of God churches. There are other non-denominational type churches. I know that. But there, since they're a Southern Baptist and their research is showing that there is only one Southern Baptist church for every 6,828 people in North America. So if we got all in this area, we'd have to build a bigger church, wouldn't we? It goes on, it says, according to the North American Mission Board, established Southern Baptist churches baptize 3 people per 100 resident members. So if a church has, and this is in a year, I'm assuming this is in a year, in a year's time, a church that runs about 100, I wonder what kind of church that would be. Oh, wait, that's us. Baptizes about 3 people a year. Now, it is with not selfish pride, but it is pride in the work that the Lord is doing here in this place. We far exceed that every year. I mean, God is blessing us incredibly with people coming needing baptism. New churches, church plants, church new startup churches, split off churches, whatever reason, are baptizing about 4 times that number. About the same size, about 12 people a year. That's better. I still think we are doing better than that, actually, which is fantastic. Approximately 75% of Southern Baptist churches in America are plateaued or are declining. Many are even closing. It says here, on average, 17 Southern Baptist churches shut their doors for good. Anyone want to guess how often? Every Sunday. Every Sunday. Leaving underserved, and unreached neighborhoods all across the North America. So if you're wondering what your missions offering is going to help, it's to help reach those people that are being neglected and lost because the church has become either apathetic, completely unsociable, well, that's not a right word, but unrelatable to the people in their community. For whatever reason, they're shutting their doors down, and so part of your missions offering is going to go help plant new churches. Now, here's the deal. When that church that was existing, before they became so apathetic, if it was an existing church, they were averaging 3 baptisms a year. So when they can take some of these funds, go in, plant a new church, the statistics say that they're going to start baptizing about 12 a year if they run at about 100. And so that's a good thing, okay? Sometimes it's part of a regeneration, a rejuvenation that needs to take place. But folks, let me tell you something. You don't have to close the doors and open them up again brand new with a new church to revive a church. Revival can happen before the defibrillator clear. You don't have to be dead to become fully revived. You can just be wherever and say, you know what? God's calling me to more. God's calling me to be obedient to Him. God's calling me to be the church that He describes in His Word, in the Bible. God's even called us to be the kind of church that He described in Acts. Even that kind of church. And that may freak you out because you may think, well, that's that other church. that's the Pentecostal kind of church. Well, praise God, because it happened at Pentecost, and we ought to all be Pentecostal. Maybe, I'm not talking about the hardline denomination descriptions or whatever like that, but when we talk about Pentecost and read about Pentecost in the Bible, I want to be that church. I won't be that church. I got way off of my notes. I'm gonna have to find my way back here. There's a battle raging, and the church is not faring well. Okay? The church in general is not faring well. And I believe it's because of spring break. Not necessarily because of this week that school is out and a lot of people are on vacation. I'm not talking about that. The Bible says that spring was the time when kings went off to war. They went on mission to go out and conquer, to absorb, to bring in to the fold of the kingdom. But not David. Not this time. He decided to take spring break, and it cost him and the nation greatly. We cannot afford to sit this one out either, folks. There is a war going on. It is springtime. It's time to go to war. When David got lazy, he got into trouble. When he got lazy, he got into trouble. I mean, that's why he didn't go out, ultimately. He was either lazy or just had ulterior motives. Either one is not good. But he did not go off to war. And he got in trouble for it. He found other things to occupy his time. Bird watching, whale watching, Bathsheba watching. For those not familiar with the story, when David stayed behind, he was just up to his palace, which is, you know, higher up, and he was up there, and he looked over, and lo and behold, there was a woman bathing on the roof. That's where they bathe. Okay? And I told my family this last week that I wonder if had she been taking a shower instead of a bath, would we know her as Shower Sheba instead of Bathsheba? And they didn't really think that was all that funny. But there was a lady named Bathsheba. David says, huh, I don't see no dude around. Servant, go bring that woman to me. And lo and behold, he did a no-no with Bathsheba, ended up with Bathsheba being pregnant. And so he tried to fix the situation, right? He said, bring her husband home, named Uriah. Find him, bring him home. He's all, where is he? He's fighting the battle, kind of where you should be, David, you know, but you're not there. And lo and behold, you were here. That's why you got into trouble, all that. Anyway, go get him, bring him home. He said, Uriah, go be with your woman, and trying to play it off, and maybe he would think that that he was the father of the baby. And Uriah said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why should I do that and enjoy being with my wife when the army where I'm supposed to be are out, they're sleeping in tents and they're in battle. And said, I won't do that. I'm going to sleep outside. So David tried and just wouldn't, tried to even get him drunk and just he just wouldn't do it. He was a pretty good guy. And so David said, fine, go back out to the lines. He sent a note with him to give to the commander. And the command, and the note that Uriah delivered to the commander said, hey, send Uriah to the front lines. And when he's out there, just pull everybody back and leave him out there. Hang him out to dry. Okay? That's a long story. He got killed, by the way. David thought he was fixing stuff. All because he got apathetic. He got idle, and it started leading to these other activities to fill his time, and they were not good things. He found other things to occupy his time, and not the things he should be doing and not the places that he should be. So the question is, what are the things that distract us from doing what the Lord has called us to do and being where the Lord has called us to be? For some, it might be chasing the almighty dollar, that has become the focus of my attention. For others, it might be recognition or validation. I need people to notice me. For others, like David, it might be romance or some other relationship that has got your thinking all messed up, and you've begun to make decisions that you would not have done before. Now, you may be thinking that since you're not a king, that this passage doesn't really apply to you. It's for the leaders, and I'm no leader, you may be thinking. Let's just look at what Scripture has to say about that, would you? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What did Jesus Christ make you? Kings and priests. Now, I'm sure that if you are a female, that would translate, you could be called a queen. That might be kind of awkward for you, but probably not as awkward as me seeing Jesus Christ as my bridegroom. But still, he's made us rulers, kings. What do kings do in springtime? Oh, they go to war. They go to war. If you're a child of God, you're also a king and a priest, and it's time to go to war. You have been made a king and a priest. One of the jobs of the king is to go to battle, to expand the kingdom, not to sit on the roof and watch the neighbor take a bath. So let's not become apathetic to the lost and the dying. Let's do our job. Do not become apathetic to the things God is using to reach, to teach, and to minister to the hurting, to the lonely, and to the troubled. Do not become apathetic to being obedient to God and following His directives for your life. Don't become apathetic. Don't become so that we say, well, it just doesn't matter. It didn't really apply to me. It doesn't affect me. I'm not interested. That's apathy. Too many people have become comfortable with being a church attender and not accepting the responsibility of sharing the love of Christ with others outside these walls. Too many people think, well, that to be a Christian means I go to church on Sunday. Too many church attenders think they are doing God's will just by gracing Him with their occasional presence as if they were doing Him a favor. Lord, here I am! Aren't you so happy to see me? I'm in church! Ta-da! Too many church attenders are quick to receive from the church but are reluctant to give. The church is there for me! I go to church to get something, not to give. Too many church attenders don't give to the church to supply the resources the church needs to do the work that God has called us to do. Too many church attenders are looking for a handout instead of a hand up. Too many church attenders are looking just like non-church attenders. There's no real difference. That's not what God has called us to be. That's not the church that we read about in Acts. That's not the kind of church that Jesus Christ died for. Listen, folks. The only hope this world has is Jesus Christ. His method of sharing the good news of the gospel is the church. And what is the church? We are the church. And it's no time to take a break. Folks, it's a matter of life and death. And it's time to go to war. It's time to go to war. Apathy, indifference, I don't care-itude. I just made that one up. It's not a big deal. I got my bases covered. It's all about me. Those are not attitudes that you find in the description of when Jesus Christ set up the church. I don't know where all that came in, but that apathetic attitude does not belong with us. We are called to do battle. All throughout Scripture, there are references that lead us to believe that we are soldiers in an army. They even wrote songs about it, didn't they? We're soldiers in an army, and it's time to go to war. We don't get to say, you know what? That's not a battle for me. Not interested in fighting that battle. We don't get to say that. If we've said to God, Lord, here I am, save me, and I'm yours. As long as you don't. You see, we don't get to come to Jesus and say, here is my list of stipulations. I'll let you save me as long as it's done my way. And that's really what apathy is. We say, I want the good stuff, but I don't want it to cost me anything. I want the assurance, and I want the love and the joy and all those things, but I want to keep it all for myself. I don't want to take, I don't even like those people out there. Then what does surrender mean? What is placing Jesus Christ, allowing Him to be the Lord of our life, what does that really mean? Because those two things don't mix. Lord, I am yours. Do with me what you will. Thank you for saving me. Now, here's my agenda to you, Lord. I'm not interested in... No, it's not like that. Our job is to come and say, Lord, you saved me from all of eternity in hell. I am forever grateful to you. You are now my boss, and I'll do whatever you say, whenever you say to do it, and however you want me to do it, I'm yours. That is surrender. That is somebody that's not apathetic. That's somebody that's active saying, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Do with me what you will. Here I am. I'm ready. I'm studied up. I'm prayed up. I'm fellowshipped up. I'm fed up. Not fed up like mad, but I'm ready to go. I'm nourished. I've been nourishing on the Word of God, and I am ready to go. Send me to battle. I'm looking for battle. I watched a movie a long time ago. I think it was called War Horse. Yeah, good movie. Some of these horses are just bred. And you read about some of the knights, you know, like the jousting horses and the knights that would go out to battle and they would get their horses. When they started putting the armor and the stuff on the horse, well, they were getting a little frisky. They were, antsy. They were, muscles were twitching. They knew something big was coming up and they were getting ready. And they could hardly hold them back. They were ready to go and charge into battle. That was what they were born to do. Folks, we are born for this. It's time we accept what we are, who we are, who God has made us to be, and let's get busy about it. Amen? Father, help us. Lord, It's clear what we're supposed to be doing. It's clear what our attitude should be. It's clear that we should have a concern with those people who are dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. It is clear, Lord. Give us that passion. Give us that desire to be obedient to You. Help us to take up our cross daily. Deny ourselves. Follow You. Lord, You gave Yourself for the church. You gave Yourself for me, but not just for myself. You gave Yourself for me so that I would be a tool in Your hand to reach many, many others. Father, the truth is that is all of our story. You didn't save us for ourselves. You saved us for Your glory. And Your glory is to go out, share the good news, to love on people, to bring them into the fold, to conquer the territory around us, bring it into the kingdom, so that they can receive eternal benefits of being a child of God. Lord, help us to not be apathetic. Help us to see our duty and say, I'd rather follow God and go out to war than stay here and hang out in the palace. Lord, call us. Urge us. Convict us to be what You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.